Good morning. Welcome to each of you on this seventh Sunday of the Eastertide season. We'd like to encourage everyone, if you haven't already done so, to please sign the friendship register at the end of the pew and pass it on down the road to your next door neighbors to sign. If this is your first time visiting Berea Christian Church this morning, we want to say a special word of welcome to you, and we'd like to invite you to visit with us at the back of the church. We'll be back there shaking some hands after our service. Please drop by and let us know this is your first time with us. We'd be honored to share a small gift with you before you leave today. The flyer inside your bulletin is an update from our last congregational meeting that was held here several weeks ago, indicating that we'll be sending out letters for the stewardship and capital funds campaign this upcoming week to help us determine whether we will be able to seek out a part-time or a full-time director position for our children and youth. We certainly want to express our gratitude for everyone's support of our congregation's ministries to the youngest among us. Please remember there is a board meeting today immediately following this service at noon up in the upper room. And then please come back this afternoon at 4 o'clock. We'll be sharing in our annual church picnic just behind the church here under the big shade tree. There's a little page inside your bulletin that mentions some of the details. Just please bring a chair and a side dish. Please also read through the information in the bulletin announcement page to learn more about the sign up for summer camps at Tall Oaks, the Father's Appreciation Breakfast that is this coming Sunday, June 8th. By the way, that's 8:30, not at 9 o'clock like what's written in the bulletin. So it's 8:30, Saturday, June 8th for the Father's Day breakfast. The Undies Sunday collection during the month of June, and of course, Vacation Bible School in July. Please note there is a sign-up sheet in the back for the Father's Day breakfast as well as for helpers for Vacation Bible School. Also, please remember our Director of Music, Andrew, and our Organist, Lenora, are performing at the Chestnut Fine Arts Center in Olathe. There's information inside your bulletin announcement page about that. And also next Sunday, please plan to attend our Sunday School Recognition Program, which will be held during the Sunday School hour here in the sanctuary about 9:45 or so. Do we have any other announcements this morning? All right, Andrew.
Please rise for the call to worship. How we love your temple, Almighty God. How we long to be there.
We long to be in the Lord's temple. With our whole being, we sing for joy to the living God.
How happy are those who live in your temple, always singing praise to you.
How happy are those whose strength comes from you.
Who are eager to make the pilgrimage to Mount Zion. Let us sing hymn number 91, stanzas 1, 3, and 5.
All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. O sinners who can ne'er forget the wormwood and the gall, go spread your trophies at his feet and crown him Lord of all. Go spread your trophies at his feet and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. song and crown him Lord of all.
Thank you, Layla, for being our acolyte this morning. May we be on a moment of prayer. Gracious God, on this day, as we prepare to enjoy our church picnic, we welcome the summer season. We begin to prepare for vacation Bible school, and we note the passage of time within the life of our church, seeming like it was just flowering of the cross at Easter and just Christmas before that. We realize that your time is not measured the same as ours, that your presence with us is timeless, and our lives here on earth are just a blip in time compared to the eternity we prepare for in your heavenly kingdom. O Lord, as we begin our worship this morning, we invite you into our midst, and we seek your presence, not just here in your house, but in every aspect of our daily lives as well. Thank you, Lord, for your endless grace and mercy. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please take a few moments to greet those around you and welcome each other into worship this morning. Please be seated. We'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as we sing the first stanza of Tell Me the Stories of Jesus, found on page 190.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Good morning! Is everybody ready for the picnic this afternoon? Do we like picnics? You don't know if you like picnics?
Oh, man.
I love picnics, too. Well, this week I was kind of thinking about me and God. how God is just, he's always there. He's always there. No matter what, there he is. And how if I just hold on, he's always got, I've always got a link between me and God. It's like this rope. We're connected. He's on one end, I'm on the other. And he says, I'm always going to be here. All you have to do is hold on. Yeah? Sounds pretty simple, right? Well, yeah, it should be. One would think this would be pretty simple. But just like a lot of people, I kind of get to where I want to do things my own way. I maybe don't want to listen so well to what God's telling me. I maybe want to do things that maybe I shouldn't do, or maybe I don't want to do something that maybe I should do. And that's kind of what this rope is all about. And we all do it. We all have times when, yeah, God's telling us we need to be doing something, but we're human. We want to do things our own way, right? Yep, we all want to do it, right? Yep. So what happens when we do that? Annabelle, would you help me out? Would you take those scissors? And would you cut that loop right there? I didn't realize this was going to be a test of your endurance. Thank you. Can I have the scissors back now? Well, what happens when I decide that I'm going to do things my own way? Well, what happens is then I break the bond, don't I? So now instead of one nice rope that's all connected, what have I got? I have two. And my own fault, I walked away from God. I decided I wasn't going to do it. But what's one of the best things about God? If I go and I say, I'm really sorry. I know I shouldn't have done that. Will you forgive me? God said, I love you, child. Of course I'm going to forgive you. Watch. He's going to repair, isn't he? So now, we're connected again. There's God still hanging on. He never let go of his end. I'm the one that messed up. And you know what? Not only does God say, I will forgive you, so we're connected again, but God says, now your sin is forgotten. It's gone. It isn't there anymore. Now, it's just the two of us. Yeah? We like that? I love these faces. Like, okay, can we have a little prayer? Dearest Heavenly Father, thank you for always being there for us. Thank you for loving us so much that you not only always forgive our sins, but you always forget our sins when we seek forgiveness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Kathy. Now, see, from us up close, we were able to kind of get the benefit of watching the entire little rope trick there that Kathy was involved with. I think Jim and I have figured it out, Kathy. after two services, I think we've got the gist on that. Ed, you're going to have to take some notes on that. thank you, though, Kathy. Thank you so much. As we have the privilege to go to God in prayer, we want to remember Betty Donahue, and we are truly grateful, Betty, that you got good news. All the signs are cancer-free, so that's great news. We praise God for you. We continue to remember Joyce Osborne, as she may be anticipating surgery in the near future. We lift up Lana Witten's granddaughter, Addie Settles, We want to remember Michelle Jacobo and Jesus, and Jesus, all of your family, as Michelle's hospitalization continues, but as she's making steady progress. We also remember Grace Kimberling over at the McCright Plaza. We continue to remember Dorinda Hoke with the loss of her husband, and especially as she continues her trips to the various art shows. We remember Betty Barnes and Arlita White's sister, Mary. We remember Lauren Akins and her daughter, Nora, and certainly others that have been in our midst. And we are delighted that Andrew's parents, Stan and Deb, are here this morning. Praise God. Thank you both for again being present with us. You know, we would be more than delighted for you all to just stay here in Kansas City rather than having to go back to Ohio, you know. You know, every time they come, they reinforce our choir, and we are indeed grateful. Thank you so much. God bless you all. Thank you. So may we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and loving God, we are privileged to assemble in your house to offer you praise this Lord's day for the renewal that dwells deeply because of our fellowship with people of faith. We give you thanks as we also celebrate the guidance offered by the truths of your word. Lord, as this past week has unfolded, we are mindful that it was a week of destruction and despair for many, near and far. We seek your comfort for the families of loved ones whose lives were senselessly snuffed out by the hand of violence in Virginia Beach, Virginia. We pray for renewal for those whose homes and businesses were pulverized within seconds by the destructive winds in communities near and far, as we've witnessed the destruction caused by nearly 500 tornadoes during this past month of May. We pray for those whose homes and businesses have been ravaged by creeping floodwaters in past weeks and recent days. Through all the destruction, O God, we are reminded once again of just how fleeting and temporal are the things of this world. But for the resilient spirit and soul that resides in each and every one of your children, we are grateful for the measure of hopefulness that can spring forth as this rather traumatic spring season ebbs into the warmth of summer. And as we seek to render aid and comfort for those so terribly afflicted, we also plead for restoration by your Spirit's presence. For as the psalmist asks in Psalm 51, verse 12, "Restore to us the joy of your salvation and uphold us with a willing spirit." With the resolve of eternal hopefulness, we offer our petitions to you, O God, as we also recite with assurance the prayer Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And Phil, we thank you for reading our scripture this morning.
Our reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, the 6th chapter, verses 60 through 71. You may find that in your pew Bible on page 975. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life, but among you there are some who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the first that there were ones that did not believe, and who was the one that would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom would we go? Can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil." He was speaking of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, for he, though one of the 12, was going to betray him.
It is likely that you have had certain tables where you have felt greatly comforted while sharing a meal with loved ones. In years past, such comfort may have come to you as you were seated at your grandmother's kitchen table eating a piece of your favorite pie she baked. Today it may be a seat in a corner booth of your favorite restaurant, sharing a meal with lifelong friends. Or maybe you're at your own dining room table with family, where you share nourishing food and heartwarming stories. As people of faith, hopefully, the Lord's table here in our sanctuary is another one of those special places as you envision yourself seated with other people of faith and with our Lord Jesus as he shares the bread and cup with each of us. As Jesus said at the Lord's table, "Do not be worried and upset. Believe in God and believe also in me." And thus, through his words, we find great comfort. We turn to our communion hymn number 384 as we sing the first and third stanzas of "Here at Thy Table, Lord."
Here at thy table, Lord, this sacred hour, oh, let us feel thee near in loving power, calling our thoughts away from self and sin, as to thy banquet hall we enter in. Come then, O Holy Christ, feed us, we pray. Touch with thy pierced hand each common day, making this earthly life full of thy grace, till in the home of heaven we find our place.
As we gather at the Lord's table, we again remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as we are led in a word of prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, as we partake of these emblems, may our focus be on their deeper meaning. May we always be thankful for your great love and mercy and for Jesus' great sacrifice. May we always pass your love on to others. In Jesus' name, amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning.
In recent days and weeks, we've seen a lot of pictures of sandbag after sandbag being stacked up to raise the heights of levees and to protect dwellings. It's quite striking to see how a home or a business can remain dry as several feet of water surround such structures, as simple walls of sandbags keep the floodwaters at bay. Such a wall of simple sand becomes impenetrable as each and every grain of sand takes its particular stand and becomes compacted and shaped into place as each and every sandbag is stacked. We may think our particular offerings to God are but grains of sand in the sea of life's troubles, but it is in fact the accumulation and compaction of all our individual gifts that produces a formidable protection from the forces of despair and a fortress of goodness and aid to those in need. Thus, as we offer a word of prayer, we gather our individual tithes and offerings as sands in the bag for God's good purposes. Anna?
Lord, this offering is gathered to do your work, is placed in your hands. Please guide us with your compassion to use them wisely and lovingly. And Lord, bless all these offerings and all those who give. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. We apologize if you've been feeling a little bit warm this morning, but we think the air conditioning system on the east side of the building is not quite working like it's supposed to. You're probably feeling it a little bit, but Tom is not with us today, and David and his family are in Hawaii. I think they're doing fine without the air conditioning, right? But so we'll see about getting that fixed as we journey along. At least part of it's working, right? We praise God for that. May we have a word of prayer. Gracious and holy God, we give thanks for the privilege to consider the lives of the apostles and to understand why it was that they were willing to faithfully follow your Son. May we be inspired by their example to have the same resolve to serve Christ. It's in his name we give thanks. Amen. This Sunday we're concluding this series of messages about the apostles. And as we're looking at the final three, we wonder why is so little known about the remaining three, James the Lesser, Simon the Zealot, or Judas, not Iscariot. Well, the truth is that aside from a few famous people, and maybe even a fewer number of infamous people, most folks are not remembered past their grandchildren's generation. Because unless the story is told and retold and retold by one generation to the next, the lives and experiences of people who have passed on in time is forgotten to history, right? In fact, how many of you actually can name your great-grandparents? Great-grandparents. Several of you can. How about great-great-grandparents? One, two, three, four. See how the number begins to decrease as you go further back in generations? And I bet that even those of you who know your great-great-great-great-great-grandparents, either your family has a lot of longevity in it, or the truth of the matter is you know about them because of stories told in your family. Maybe you're one of those families that has a lot of reunions, and so those stories get told and retold. Well, it's really quite remarkable that we actually know as much about Jesus and the apostles as we do. How were those stories passed on from generation to generation past the time of Jesus and the apostles? Because the stories were told and retold and retold and retold, because written material was so laborious and expensive to produce. Our written documents that became our New Testament, you know, certainly did not really come into existence until hundreds of years after Christ. So it really is amazing that we have what we have. And yet, the last three, we know so little about them. James the Lesser, the son of Alphaeus. The only thing that Scripture tells us about him is his name. And he gets this nickname tagged on, James the Lesser. The Greek word for lesser is micros. It simply means to be little in stature. So probably he was a short man or a man of a small frame. And consequently, Shorty. That's how he became Shorty. James, who was known as Shorty. We do know from Scripture that he had a brother named Joseph. And we also know from Scripture that the two men had a mother whose name was Mary. We know that she was an eyewitness to the resurrection, the crucifixion, eyewitness to the crucifixion, and also was one of the women who helped to prepare Jesus' body for burial. Other than that, we know little about James the Lesser, except we can say that he was one whose family, not only himself, but his entire family, must have been truly devoted to Christ as several members followed Jesus. It is believed that Simon the Lesser took the gospel message to Syria and to Persia. Then there is Simon the Zealot of these three remaining apostles. Last week we talked about the Zealots, those who hated the Romans for their occupation of Israel. They believed that they were to serve only the one true God and pay tribute only to Yahweh. Thus they felt justified in exacting guerrilla warfare and sought out opportunities to kill Roman soldiers and to destroy Roman property. In AD 6, Judas the Galilean led a group of zealots in a violent revolt against the Roman census tax. The Romans, of course, responded swiftly, and Judas the Galilean was killed, and the zealots went underground. They formed a secret society of assassins known as the Dagger Men, and their story has been played out in several recent movies. You know, the secret society? This is where this originates from. The trouble caused by the zealots is likely, however, the reason why the Romans utterly destroyed the temple and the majority of all Jerusalem in 70 AD. Yet, what we understand about Simon the Zealot is that Christ transformed his life. He left that lifestyle behind as he followed Jesus, and he became a nonviolent, very devoted follower of Jesus, and it is believed that Simon the Zealot took the gospel to the British Isles. Then we have Judas, the son of James, but he is known primarily as Judas, not Judas Iscariot. Now, how would you like to have your name be noted simply because people refer to you as not being like the bad guy? That's pretty bad, isn't it? You know, that's not a great reputation. You know, if you share a name with somebody who's done a lot of bad stuff, boy, doesn't that haunt you? You know, you don't want to be part of the police record when it's not really your name that's on the police record. Judas actually means Jehovah leads. And it's really a shame that that name has been given such a negative connotation because of Judas Iscariot. Because imagine in this time period, people would have named their son Judas because they were hoping that indeed their son would be led by God. The only scripture in which we hear of Judas is John chapter 14, verse 21. Here, during the Last Supper, Jesus is talking about himself being the way to the Father. Chapter 6, verse 14, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except by me. And now that you have known me, you will know my Father also. Jesus goes on to say in verse 21, my Father will love whoever loves me. I too will love him and reveal myself to him. Now, it's with Jesus saying those words that we then hear from Judas. Verse 22, Lord, how can it be that you'll reveal yourself to us and not to the world? In other words, Jesus, if you're going to reveal yourself to us, all these wonderful things about you, why not share it with the world? And to this, Jesus responds, whoever loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and my Father and I will come to that person to live within them. So he reinforces the idea. You're right, Judas. I will carry my love out to others if they will love me, is what he basically is saying here. So what we see with Judas is a person who had a great sense of compassion for others. Again, other than that, we know very little about him, except we do know that he took the gospel to a portion of Mesopotamia that is today now a part of the country of Turkey. So Simon, James, and Judas were men who followed Jesus faithfully to the very ends of their lives, you see. But in this text that Phil read to you earlier from John's Gospel, the sixth chapter, here Jesus is emphasizing that he is indeed the Son of God. He is truly of God. And if you look at John chapter 8, verse 58, Jesus declares, before Abraham was born, I am. Now, we get confused by what that means, but the Jewish people in this time period would have known when Jesus said, I am, that Jesus was saying, I am of Yahweh, I am of God. And a lot of the Jewish folks at that point would have said, oh my gosh, this is blasphemy. How can we follow this man and his teachings? Verse 59, the very next verse, then, and so we're assuming some of the Jews' people, picked up stones to throw at Jesus. But Jesus slips away. There are actually 10 separate occasions in John's Gospel that Jesus declares that he is from God, that he is actually God. And he uses many metaphors to reinforce the point. In John chapter 8, I am the light of the world. John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. John chapter 15, I am the true vine. John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And to this, John chapter 6, verse 60 tells us that many of Jesus' followers said that his teachings were too hard. Not just difficult to understand, but what the Greek actually is saying here, too difficult to accept. And as a consequence, many of these would-be followers are starting to break away from Jesus. His popularity is waning. As the text says, verse 66, because of this, many of Jesus' followers turned back and would not go with him anymore. And then Jesus wondered even if the apostles wished to quit. Verse 67, the text says, and Jesus is talking to his disciples as he says, and you, would you also like to leave? Wow, did you know that? Did you know there's a portion of text where Jesus actually confronts his apostles and says, hey, all these other people are beginning to think that my message is too difficult to believe as truth. What about you? Do you also want to leave me? Now, put yourself in the situation. The population is beginning to wander off. Jesus's message is looking unpopular. Oh, we're going to get ourselves in trouble if we keep following him. We're going to be in serious trouble, not with so much the Romans, but we're going to be in serious trouble with our own fellow Jewish folks, the Jewish authorities. Do we want to continue? And yet, of the apostles, who is it who steps up to the plate and speaks? None other than Simon Peter, obviously. We know of him to be the spokesperson for the apostles, but we also know of him to be the one who has that great level of zeal and determination to be like Christ. Remember, he wanted to be so much like Christ, he was willing to jump out of the boat because he wanted to walk on water just like Jesus. Just like a little child wants to do the same thing his father's doing. If dad's mowing the lawn, I gotta have my little lawnmower and follow right along, right? You see? Here, Simon Peter was determined to stick it out with Jesus. Notice what he says in verse 68. Lord, to whom would we go? In other words, hey, yeah, you know, we don't know a better gig. You're the best that there is out here. There's no one else better to follow. That's what we've learned from following you. Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words that give eternal life. And we believe and know that you are the Holy One. In other words, you are of God. And you're the Holy One who has come from God. That is a powerful testimony. A powerful resolution that Simon Peter is willing to confess. Simon declares with a resolute spirit, the faithful determination that the 11 apostles, of course to some extent Judas is still there, but his mind isn't there, is it, from what we understood last week. But the 11 were determined to follow Christ. Simon Peter, again, you recall, later declares, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, as we reflect upon these remaining three apostles and admire their determination and admire Simon Peter's determination to stick it out with Christ, we have to understand, you know, that we live in a world in which there are so many things calling for our attention, and there are so many ways in which people are aspiring to have some sense of purpose or feeling like they have a measure of significance. And I guess among all those things people can aspire to, I've been kind of shaking my head at that line forming on the top of Mount Everest. You know, it cost about $45,000 to about $130,000 to make that little trek. And of course, you got to have some pretty reasonable health, hopefully, because if you don't, you're just endangering the other people. But imagine that it seems almost kind of preposterous to stand in line so that you can have your little moment of personal glory, so you can stand on what's considered to be the top of the earth. For how long? A little bit. And then that way you can put your name on the plaque with the other 4,000 plus other people who've done the same thing. And it's like, huh? Look at me! I made it to the top of Mount Everest! Ha! Aren't I wonderful? Big deal. In the end, does it matter that much? You know, Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 2 says, all is vanity. In other words, like all is lost to vanity. There are so many things vying for our attention, and we got people grappling to do things that, you know, that make them feel like they're important, or make them feel like they've had the most wonderful experience of all experiences. Oh my gosh. Give us a break. In the end, it doesn't matter. In the end, every one of our lives ends. And then, where shall we be? I think Simon Peter had it right. He said, well, Jesus, who else is there to follow? You have the words of eternal life. And we're committed to following you. And so how about you? Do you know Christ? Is he your Lord and Savior? If he isn't, maybe today is that day you need to come forward and accept Christ in a way that I know your life can be transformed. And maybe today is that day you need to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I want to extend the invitation to you as we turn to our hymn of invitation. It's number 552, Standing on the Promises. We'll sing stanzas 1 and 4, 552.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing. I'm standing on the promises of God.
A couple of reminders again, board meeting right after the service in the upper room. We certainly need our board members to attend. We've got some insurance issues we really need to address today. So please help us out to be at that meeting. Also, this afternoon, 4 o'clock, we have the picnic, and the humidity is supposed to be down a little bit, and it'll be a little warmer and not raining, right? So we should have a wonderful time out on the property here on this north side of the sanctuary and other parts here. Isn't it great to have the parking lot kind of redone a little bit? Got that all paved up. So that's a good deal, too. We thank you for being in the Lord's house. May we bow our heads in prayer. Merciful God, as we depart, your Spirit empowers us to experience the fullness of your presence and to understand our greatest purpose is to follow you through your Son and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we give thanks as we depart. Amen.
Rejoice, the Lord is King, the risen Christ adore. Rejoice, give thanks and sing and triumph evermore. lift up your heart. Lift up your voice, rejoice again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in glorious hope, for Christ our judge shall come to glorify the saints for their eternal home. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again, I say rejoice.